I'm Grayson Wilson. This is the Victory Life Ministry. And tonight we're going to be talking about created for dominion. And tonight is going to be a good night. I feel the presence of God in here. I was praying before. So we're going to be talking about how you were created by God for dominion. You weren't created by God to live an ordinary life. You weren't created by God to be subject to the devil. You weren't created by God to experience sickness and disease. You weren't created by God to experience poverty. You weren't created by God to be an ordinary person. You were created by God to be saved by the blood of Jesus and to receive the life of God into your human vessel, to demonstrate the life of God, to manifest your sonship as a child of God, to live a glorious life, a life that emits the glory of God, a life that displays the miracles of God. You aren't called to be ordinary. You know, many Christians, they get saved and then they decrease in life, which is crazy to think about. They get saved and then submit to the things of life. They think that it's the devil, but they say stuff like, oh, you know, well, I guess it's God's will for this sickness to remain in my body. Or, if it was God's will to give me $1 million, he would. But obviously he doesn't, because God doesn't care about our prosperity. You know, I can't even do the voice anymore. One day in the sweet by and by, we'll walk on streets of gold, but we don't have gold here on the earth. Not the case. You see, God gave you his divine nature and God created you for dominion. So if God dwells in you and God is flowing out of you, like the Bible describes, then just like heaven is the product of what flows out of God, heaven on earth will be the product of what flows out of you. You see, God's whole mission is to establish the kingdom of heaven on the earth in all of its fullness. All of the fullness of health that's in heaven, he's looking to establish it on the earth. All of the fullness of prosperity that's in heaven, he's looking to establish it on the earth. Yet God the Father will remain on the throne in heaven. He's not coming down here to do that. So right now, he's trying to establish the fullness of the kingdom of heaven that exists in heaven right now. He's trying to produce that on the earth. He wants the streets on earth to be paved with gold. Literally. He wants the earth to be filled with nothing but health. And to be freed from sickness and disease, and it can be on the earth. He wants that to happen, and he's put his spirit into human beings to make it happen. So when a human being fully receives the word of God and fully yields to the power of the Holy Spirit, then it is impossible for the word of God and the things in the word of God to not immediately be displayed on the earth. It's impossible for the kingdom of heaven to not exist on the earth. Because in the Word of God, the Bible says that all things are possible for God. And the Bible says that all things are possible for him who believes. So you're the believer with God in you. So you believe and you have God in you, which means that all things are possible for the believer. So everything that's possible for God that he's made heaven, is possible for you on the earth, because God's trying to produce the same kingdom on the earth. And he's given you his word, which the word is God, and the word was God. And it says in the beginning the word was with God. So all the fullness of the power of God is in the word, because the word is God. Which means that all the fullness of the power of God is in the Bible, and the Bible's been given to us. And the Holy Spirit, who searches the deep things of God, has been given to you to teach you how to access all the power that exists in heaven and on the earth, and to produce and cause that power to flow through you into the earth, to produce everything that God wants to produce on this earth. So you're not created to be walked on. You're actually created to walk on the devil. But I'm going to talk to you about some things today, and I'm going to go back to just the baseline foundational teaching on this. And we're going to start there, and we're going to grow from there. Because you forget sometimes, like I forget sometimes that there are people that haven't ever heard this. So I'm going to talk about it from the start, and I'm going to explain the devil, how God created the devil, how the devil was dethroned and fell, and then how man was enthroned in the garden, how man was stripped of his honor and his dignity and his divinity, and dethroned out of the garden, and then how Jesus came to restore man's position. So go to Ezekiel 28, verse 11, and we're going to talk about this. And man, tonight's going to be a good night. I see you going to another level tonight. I see things that were out of your control before tonight going into your control by the Word of God. The Word of God, dominion, gives you control. If you have dominion, you have control over the affairs of your life. The Word of God puts you in the place of control over sickness. The Word of God puts you in the place of control over poverty, which means you literally have control into prosperity. You can reach a place of prosperity and stay there forever, where you're prospering and you prosper even more. Just like Abraham, just like Isaac. The Bible says that Isaac was very rich and became exceedingly rich. So Ezekiel 28:11. More, this says this. This is talking about the devil. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." So notice this, the devil was in Eden. The devil was in Eden before he had fallen, which means that God put the devil in charge of the things of the earth, which is actually really interesting, and placed him to take care of the Garden of Eden. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers." So the devil was anointed. The devil had the anointing of God. And notice he had timbrels and pipes in him. He was prepared to, many people believe he was the worship leader of heaven, which he was. So he's anointed to produce music. So now he's anointed to produce music that pulls people into hell, which is really interesting. That's why there's always an anointing on music, whether it's for the things of God or a counterfeit anointing. Because the devil will counterfeit and slander and slant everything that God has created. The devil can't create anything. He can only slander and twist the things that are created. "I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." So he walked in the midst of the fire of God. Crazy. "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." So notice, something can be perfect, but then iniquity can enter into it and twist it. You see, the devil is the father of iniquity. Man was perfect, but the nature of the devil got into man and turned it into iniquity. Turned it into twistedness, crookedness. Something that's crooked can't be made straight. It goes on and on. It says, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." Here, we'll go a little bit further back. We'll go back. "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned." So the devil was the father of sin. The devil was the first one to ever sin and to rebel against God. Not Adam. It was the devil first. The sin entered into the world through the devil. "Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." So pride had entered into his heart. Pride always causes you to be demoted. "You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." So the moment wisdom turns into sin, the moment sin enters into somebody that has wisdom, their wisdom turns into foolishness. Because they enter from the light of wisdom into the darkness of folly. So you could be Solomon and be the wisest person ever, and your wisdom get corrupted, and you become the most foolish person in the world. Interesting. Crazy. Because the height of foolishness is to have all this revelation about God and then turn away from it. Crazy. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Wow. And then let's go to Isaiah 14. Both of these passages describe the devil. So the devil was reigning in the Garden of Eden, according to that scripture. And notice it said that his wisdom was corrupted. And this passage will say it too, that the devil was full of wisdom. The Bible says that by wisdom kings reign and rulers decree justice. Verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And the Bible says that there was no place found in heaven for the devil. So the devil was thrown out of heaven back down to the earth. The devil ascended into heaven to try to take over heaven. He tried to be like the Most High, to place himself on the throne of God. But then the devil was cast out of heaven down to the earth. And then, if we go back to Ezekiel 28, it talks about how he corrupted the sanctuaries with his iniquity. So his iniquity corrupted everything. His darkness corrupted the whole earth. And so then when you go to creation, the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep and darkness was over the face of the earth. So the devil had turned what was on the earth into darkness, into formlessness, into emptiness, into void, into vanity. But then the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Notice that nothing happened yet. It wasn't until the Word and the Spirit connected that the devil was kicked out of the earth and then creation came forth. So God sent his Word to the Spirit that was upon the earth. And then they connected, and the power of God broke out. The power that was in the Word and the power that was in the Spirit kicked the reign of the devil off of the earth and created everything that was on the earth. Then God put his man on the earth, Adam. So when God created the man, here, we'll go to Genesis. Genesis, I think it's 1:21. This is interesting stuff. Finnis Dake has a lot to say about this. Finnis Dake is like a huge proponent of the devil having been the god of the earth before, which is interesting. Verse 26, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So when God created man, he created him in the image of God and in the likeness of God. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created man in his own image. Man was enthroned upon the earth to operate like God. Adam used the wisdom that was in him from God to name every single animal that existed. You know how intelligent you have to be just to remember every animal that exists, just to name every created animal. Not only did he know their names, but he created them. He created a name for them. So he was enthroned with dominion. He was a divine being made in the image of God, had authority with his words to speak things into existence, just like God, had authority to create new things, created names for animals with his wisdom and with his mouth. Just like God used his wisdom and spoke the earth into existence, Adam used his wisdom and his words to speak the name of those animals into existence. And that's the first thing that God had him do. He said, go and create names for these animals. He was teaching him to operate like God. He was teaching him how to have dominion. So Adam was enthroned on the earth, and the devil had no access to him. The devil had no access to the Garden of Eden, and the devil had no power over him. The only access that the devil had to the Garden of Eden was to possess an animal that was in the Garden of Eden to gain access to Adam, which is crazy to think about too. He gained access through a snake. And the only way that the devil could gain power over Adam was to deceive Adam into disobeying God. He knew that if he disobeyed God and went into sin, that the same dethronement that came upon him would come upon man. And so that's what he did. And man sinned, and when he sinned, he was disconnected from the power of God. He wasn't just broken off in relationship. He was also broken off in power. He lost his dominion. All of the glory that God had given him, you know, he was clothed with the glory of God. That's why he didn't even realize his nakedness. The Bible says that whenever he sinned, his eyes were opened, and he saw that he was naked. It's talking about how when he sinned, his spirit, he died in his spirit, and the sight of his physical eyes became predominant. And then he realized that he was naked. He was submitted to naturalness. He lost his spirituality. Notice this, that after that happened, then the devil was able to afflict him with sickness and disease. Then the devil was able to afflict him with poverty and lack. The devil had zero power over Adam until he was able to kill his spirituality. Wow, that sunk in even as I said it even more. The only power that the devil has over you exists whenever your spirituality isn't present. Because it's the degree of your spirituality that comes from revelation of the Word of God and sensitivity to the presence of the Holy Spirit that gives you dominion on the earth. So the devil caused him to die in his spirit, which caused him to lose his access to the power that he had that was spiritual power, which destined him to perish. The moment that Adam sinned, he died in his spirit, yet he continued to remain conscious and to live on in his physical body. But his days were limited in that moment in time. Because once you die in your spirit, it's only a matter of time before that manifests in the natural. Because everything that happens, and this is important, everything that happens in the natural realm originates from the spiritual realm. The whole world stands on the foundation of the Word of God. Because the world is still being held together right now. The laws of gravity, the laws of electromagnetic law, all the laws of physics, they're literally in place by the Word of God. The Word of God is currently holding them up. The eternal validity of the Word of God, the eternal stability, the fact that it never changes, is the thing that's holding the natural realm together right now. Because God spoke from the spiritual realm, because God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He spoke from the spiritual realm, and the word, which was spiritual, was sent into the earth, and it connected with the Holy Spirit, who's a spirit that was hovering upon the earth and materialized the natural realm, created everything that exists. So man lost access to God. He lost access to his spiritual power. The only thing that gave him dominion was what he had in the spiritual realm, his spirituality. And the moment that he was submitted to the natural realm, it took 900 years for the death that entered into his spirit to manifest in the natural and to kill him through sickness and disease and death. And then once that happened, the devil, who is a spirit, had power over Adam, who was dead in spirit. And he was able to afflict him. In that moment in time, the devil became the god of the earth. There were only two powers that had control over the earth. It was Adam, and it was the devil. Adam was the god of the earth, the god of this world. But he yielded that dominion over to the devil by submitting to the devil's ways and receiving the devil's nature into him. From that day on, the devil became the god of this world, which is what the Bible calls him. The Bible calls him the god of this world. That's why the devil, when he tempted Jesus, was able to offer him all the kingdoms of the earth, because he had control over them. The devil has control through his demons and people that he has influence over. So then from that time, God made a way for man to be re-enthroned. God made a way for man to not perish. He lost the life of God. He lost the eternal life of God out of his spirit. The nature of God, the thing that makes God God, is his life. Adam had that same life in him because he was formed in the class of God. But he lost the life of God, and all that he had left was human life, natural life. So then for the rest of until Jesus came, Adam reproduced human life. I feel like I said I was going to make this simple, but it got very complicated. So he reproduced human life. Everybody that was born into sin and born into naturalness with a dead spirit. But Jesus came to restore back to the human race what the human race lost when Adam fell. He came to restore humans back to the state that Adam was in. He came to restore to humans the life of God. Came to restore to them the image of God, so that they could continue to they could again operate in the class of God. Man was created in the class of God. A fish is in the class of a fish. A human is in the class of humans. Like when you talk about humans and you talk about animals, you notice that humans are in a different class. They have creative ability. They can think. They can produce things in their mind. Christians are in a class above an ordinary human. They're in the class of God because they have the Holy Spirit who's God on the inside of them. They have the Zoe eternal life of God, the divine nature of God that has no sickness in it, has no poverty in it, overflows in wealth, overflows with health, is eternal. So man was re-enthroned, and God sent Jesus on a mission to re-enthrone man into that original state. Go to John 3:16. Not that we need to flip to this verse, but you're going to see something in this verse that you've never seen before, and it's going to help you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Greek word for everlasting life is Zoe. That word is used speaking of the nature of God. That same word Zoe is used in John 1 verse 4, where it says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of man. So Jesus carried life. He is the life of God. He is the divine nature of God. The fullness of the divine nature of God dwelled in him in the flesh. And he came to duplicate himself into you. Now go to John 3, verse 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So man was re-enthroned by a new birth. Once Adam sinned, he was subjected to just humanity. And everything that he birthed, due to the law of life, produced humanity. He gave birth to humans. He didn't give birth to people that carried the life of God anymore because he lost it. God gave birth to himself. Notice that. When he said, let us make man in our own image. Because of the law of life that he created, it was impossible for him to create anything else out of himself other than something that was in his class. So when he created Adam, he inevitably created something that was in his class, something that could create things, something that could use his words with authority, something that operated with faith. Hallelujah. You were created for dominion. By God, by your nature. So until you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You're not able to see it. You're dead. You're separated from the kingdom of God. You dwell in the kingdom of darkness. But then when Jesus came, you were redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So when you were subject to that kingdom because you lost the power in your spirit, there was no way that the devil had full control over you. Go to 1 John 5:19. I hope this is resonating with you. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the anointing in here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So if you're not of God, then you just remain under the sway of the wicked one. The devil had full control over you because you didn't have any spiritual power to access that could kick him out. The devil did have power over you. But when Jesus came, he destroyed all the power of the devil. He went down into hell and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. If he takes the keys of death, which is the thing that the Bible says that the devil was able to make you afraid of because he had the power of death, that he had authority because he could put sickness upon you and make you afraid because you had no power to escape what he could bring against you, which was death. But Jesus defeated the devil so much so that he even took the things that the devil was supposed to have. Now Jesus holds the keys of death. Now he has authority over death, which means you get to die whenever you want to. So the moment you were born again, the Bible says that you became a new creature and that all old things pass away and everything became new. The Bible says that Jesus is the second Adam, which means he came to create a whole new race of human beings that operate in the divine nature of God. Not everyone who is born a child of God. Jesus told the Jewish people, he said, you serve your father, the devil. He literally told them that their father was the devil and that they operate like the devil. That's why in the Bible it says that Adam was formed in the image of God. This is Genesis 4 or Genesis 6. And then it says, then Adam had a son in his own image, in his own likeness. Because it's describing the fall and about how then Adam had sons in his own image rather than in the image of God. It's like clearly stated by the Bible. But now that you are born again, you are now back into the class of God. So you're re-enthroned and you're back in the place of dominion. Now at this point, you have to figure out as a child of God, how do I operate in this dominion? You have the capacity for dominion. The devil's been stripped of all of his power. You've been redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You dwell in a place where the devil can't even access you anymore. Now the only power that the devil has left is the same situation he was in the beginning, which is to deceive you, to make you give up your power. The same strategy that the devil had to operate against Adam is the same strategy that the devil has to operate against us. He has to find some sneaky, subtle way to even get into your life, some way that he's not really truly allowed to do. But he's a thief and a liar, so he doesn't. To get into your life and to try to tempt you. Try to make you give up your dominion. But there are certain revelations that whenever you have them, they position you to operate in this dominion. Number one is this. You have to understand, and I've said it a lot here, that you are a God on the earth. A lowercase g God. The Bible makes this clear. Go to Psalm 82 and John 10, 31 through 36. So you operate in the class of in God's class now. You are not God, but you operate in the class. You're a spirit being. You're a spirit being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Given the Word of God to use. tonight's going to mark a turning point for people's lives who watch this. Where before the devil was able to afflict you, but now you can't be afflicted any longer. Verse 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So he equates being a child of the Most High to being a god. That's scripture. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So he makes a distinction between somebody that's a child of God and who is a lowercase g god and a mere mortal man that can die. That dies like a normal, like a mortal man. And then if you go to John 10, Jesus affirms this. It says, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So he's literally describing the same thing that I'm basically describing to you now. Because people will dispute this doctrine. It's a religious spirit that disputes this doctrine. And he's basically saying the same thing. If the Bible says you are gods and the scripture can't be broken, so I'm basically saying to you the exact same thing. If the Bible says that you are a god and the scripture can't be broken, right? Because it literally said it. And notice he didn't go read the whole thing in context. He literally just spat out the one part that would piss him off the most, which is the part where the Bible, it just says you are gods. And Jesus was totally fine with that. Not saying you should read things out of context, but what I'm saying is when a scripture literally says something, like just straight up, it's actually very simple. Do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So he's saying, if I show the works of somebody that operates in the class of God, then believe that I'm a God or that I am the God. So he's saying that he's the Son of God because he does the works of the Son of God. And then Jesus said to us, he said, the same works that I do, you shall do, and even greater things than these. So Jesus is fully God. He was fully God and fully man. Operated as literally the fullness of God on the earth. He was God and is God on the earth. But now we operate like Jesus, his brother. Jesus is our older brother, which means we operate like lowercase g gods because we don't have the anointing without limit. On the earth. The same way he operated, we operate. So that revelation of the fact that you are a God on the earth is key for operating in dominion. Because you understand that you're a divine being. You know, the more of the word of God that you get into you, the more divine you actually are. He literally says, does it not say that you are gods to whom the word of God came? So the first time that the word of God comes to you, the word of the gospel about salvation in the blood of Jesus, when you receive it and believe it, according to this scripture, you become a God. But then there's various degrees of it. Because then you have to grow up in your sonship as a son of God. And so when you grow up in your sonship, you receive more of the word of God and it gets more into your mind. You know how the devil possesses people? He possesses people by getting control of their mind. That's why the Bible talks about casting down strongholds and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your mind. So the devil gains access to your mind and produces strongholds and ways of thinking that whenever you yield to it, causes him to have free flow through your mind. Well, in the same way, you renew your mind to the word of God. And so the more that you renew your mind to the word, and the more that you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more that you're giving the access of that of the Holy Spirit to possess you. And so the more you're possessed by the Holy Spirit, the more you can operate like the Holy Spirit wants you to operate, and the Holy Spirit's fully God. Which means the more that you renew your mind to the Word of God, the more you literally operate as God. Literally. On the earth. It gives God a free vessel to flow all of himself and all of his power into the earth, which subsequently establishes the kingdom of heaven on the earth. I see you establishing the kingdom of heaven on the earth. I see you operating in your dominion. I see you operating in your sonship as a son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came to give you the divine nature of God. He came to restore to you dominion. Therefore, now that you're in the family of God, you're now created for distinction. Go to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We're about to wrap it up here in a minute. Hopefully this is helping you to understand this in the light of redemption. You weren't redeemed to be an ordinary human being. You're redeemed to be a son of the Most High God. A son that's fully grown operates like his father. How can you act like God and imitate God if you don't have the nature of God working in you? It's not even possible. The scripture would be lying. God would be giving you commandments that you couldn't fulfill. The Bible says, be imitators of God as dear children. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Another version is that you may show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you praise God for wonderful things that he's done. This says that you're called to show forth God's praises, which means you're called to show forth wonderful things that God does. You see what I mean? You're called to be the person that God, that people praise God for. The reason to praise God. Someone that operates in miracles, where the power of God, someone who carries the power of God and causes miracles to happen on the earth, by the power of God, where then people praise God for sending you to their nation or sending you to their region. People will praise God that you came to their country. People will praise God that you came to their region. God will use you to cause thanksgiving to flow into God. Because you carry the divine nature, because you show up with dominion. You know, Enoch Adeboye, I believe he would pray and believe God that the moment that his foot stepped on the ground in a nation, every demon within 10 miles of him would be like exorcised or something like that, or a mile. I forget what his faith was at. He would believe God that he carried so much dominion that just like Jesus, whenever he came to the temple and started preaching, demons were tormented by the anointing on his words and couldn't be in his presence. That demons would be tormented by his words and destroyed by his presence. Dominion power. People that hung out with Kenneth Hagin were not even able to be sick. There was a story of a pastor that had diabetes. And every single time, like the whole trip that he was with Kenneth Hagin told him from the start, notice that your blood sugar won't be high this whole trip. You can eat whatever you want, because you're with me. And he was clueless, so he would be eating cake, and then he would check his blood and it would be fine. He's like, oh, my blood's actually kind of fine today. Like, and you're like, yeah, not crap. Like, you're with Kenneth Hagin, who carries dominion over sickness and disease. And he's like, huh, that's kind of strange. Like literally, that this story is wild. Dominion over the works of darkness. Light deals with darkness cheaply. The moment light appears, darkness flees, and you dwell in the kingdom of light. You're called to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the kingdom of his, or into his marvelous light. You're called to demonstrate your sonship, to shine the light of God, and to dismantle the kingdom of darkness out of your presence. People will call you a hero because of the things that you do for God. You can do great things for God. You can establish the kingdom of heaven on the earth. You can make this earth like heaven while you're here. You can eradicate disease out of people's lives from your revelation and your dominion, from the anointing that God puts on you. That's what Jesus did. He came to destroy the works of the devil. It says, "For you know that the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil." And God duplicated Jesus into you. Which means you know that you go around, that you manifested with the divine nature of God to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. I see you stepping into that today. Let this get into you. It'll take you to another level. Isaiah 60, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Who are these that fly as a cloud?" You're called for distinction. You're called to carry dignity. You're called to carry the glory of God. The Bible says that kings will come to the brightness of your rising. You're called to be so great and so special on the earth because of the divine nature of God in your spirit and in your mind and in your body, that they wonder at you because of the dominion that you carry. No devil has access to you any longer whenever you get this revelation. You're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Man. This is the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. You've been given by your faith, it says that he who is born of God, who is it that overcomes the world except he that is born of God? When you're born of God, you carry God's divine nature. You dwell in his class, and you're automatically a world overcomer because you're back in that seat of dominion where the devil can't even do anything about you. But the only solution the devil had for Adam was to deceive him, literally. And you're now in the same dominion. Hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Ghost. I kind of just want to sit and like soak that in. Like, think about that. The only solution that the devil had for Adam was to deceive him. He had zero power. He couldn't put disease and sickness on him. He couldn't take anything that he had. There was nothing that he could do but to deceive him. And he couldn't even really get to him easily. He couldn't get to him himself. He had to go make a legal way, some type of way to get in by possessing an animal. Crazy. So if you're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places and the devil's been kicked out of heaven and there's no place found for him in heaven, then you exist in a realm where the devil can't even access you anymore, just like Adam. Hallelujah. You're a world overcomer just because you're a son of God. So then why is it that people still deal with sickness or people deal with poverty? Why is it then that the moment you get saved, all that stuff doesn't just vanish from your life? There's an answer. Go back to Psalm 82. And I've talked about this a lot, but it needs to be talked about again. So the answer is this, is that there's a difference from a child and a son. And Galatians talks about this. It talks about how the child isn't, even though he's an heir, he isn't full grown. And so he doesn't get to operate in the dominion and in his inheritance. Verse 5, 82 verse 5. "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." So the reason why they don't operate in their status as a child of God and as a God on the earth and they instead die the same fate as mortal men is because they walk around in darkness and they lack revelation knowledge and they lack understanding. So if you don't know about the things of God and you don't have understanding of the things of God, it causes you to not operate in the power and in the status that you have as a child of God or in the dominion that you have. So you're created for dominion. You're created to operate that way. But you have to develop into your sonship by receiving the Word of God, renewing your mind to the Word of God, and yielding to the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving the anointing of God. You have to mature into your sonship. John 1, verse 12 says this. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So to the people that were born of God and received Jesus, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. That's what the KJV says, which is way better than that one. He gave them the power to become the sons of God, the ability to grow up into a son of God that receives the whole inheritance of God. Children don't receive the inheritance. Sons that are mature receive the inheritance. You don't pass on the family business to your 3-year-old toddler. You pass on the family business to your 25-year-old son that's figured out how it works, where you give all of it to him and you can just trust him and you can retire. Right? So you have to mature into your sonship. Go to Luke 2:52. Jesus had to do this. It was the same thing with Jesus. Jesus didn't go around preaching the gospel to the nations at 2 years old. It wasn't until he was 33 years old that he stepped into his ministry. No, sorry, 30 years old. 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So even Jesus had to grow up into his sonship. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you right now. Where tonight, I believe you're going to get a breakthrough where the life of God will begin to manifest through you. You know, you could be saved and have the life of God, but it not manifest through you. You know, 3 John verse 2 says this. It says, I desire above all else that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That verse makes it clear that the prosperity and the health that you experience is determined by the amount of in which your soul prospers. And your soul prospers to the degree that the Word of God gets into your soul. So all of the power of God dwells in you. All of the blessing of God dwells in you. All of the wisdom of God dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he's trying to get through your soul, through your mind, through your will, and through your actions. He's trying to get into your life. He's trying to get into your body to bring health to your body. He's trying to get into your finances to cause you to prosper. But he's limited to the degree that your soul allows him to get out of your spirit, literally. So you have to stir up that eternal life that's in you. You have to stir up the nature of God for the nature of God to get into your mind. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and grew in his sonship, not because he wasn't, that there was something that he was lacking in his spirit. He already had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. He was conceived of the Spirit and of with Mary. So it was the Spirit and Mary. So the growing up in the wisdom of God was the development of his mind. He had the fullness of the Spirit on the inside of him. But his spirit had to be renewed. His mind had to be renewed to the wisdom of God that was in his spirit. So the wisdom of God that he grew in was the wisdom that got into his mind. And notice that he was supernaturally intelligent. So he had the divine life of God on the inside of him. But then at 12 years old, he was growing in the wisdom of God and in intelligence to the degree that people would test him, and they were amazed at his understanding of the scriptures. So you have to stir up the eternal life of God. It's on the inside of you. It can get into your body and eradicate disease on the spot. It can get into your mind and impart to you the wisdom of God. It could get into your finances and cause new money ideas to come and cause wealth to be accrued. But you have to stir it up, and you have to operate in this understanding that you carry dominion on the earth. So when I pray for you, I'm going to believe God that the spirit of life, that the breath of God, the wind of God will sweep into your life, into your room, and God will take you to another level of dominion. That tonight will mark a new upward trajectory for you. I felt the anointing super strong today. And this is kind of an odd thing to pray for most people, but God will sweep through your room with the wind of God. It's the wind of God that breathes new life into you, that causes the divine nature of God to sweep into you. And so right now, God will give it to you. God will take you to another level of dominion. Dominion is accessed by the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom that reveals to you the word of God and causes you to operate in that class. So I'm going to pray for you right now if you want this and if this is touching you. Receive this right now. Father, I pray for everybody that's watching that you would grant them a new access into your eternal life, into your divine nature. Pour out upon them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of revelation. Open up the scriptures to them, cause the word to get in them, and cause them to operate as a God on the earth. In Jesus' mighty name. Let a wind from heaven sweep into their life. Let the breath of God breathe upon them right now. Rombo shobro kombrande abo. Kabo shobro tebehe. Rove anana. And I prophesy over them right now in the name of Jesus. A whole new level of the life of God flowing into their mind. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus that a wind of God is going to come upon their life right now that's going to cause a whole new level of the eternal life of God to flow through them, that will cause them to operate like divine people on the earth, that will cause them to rise up into their inheritance. I see you rising up into your inheritance as a child of God. I prophesy that you will manifest your sonship, that even in the coming months, that new revelation will pour out upon your life that will be faster than any revelation you've ever walked in. A whole new season. I'm not a big believer in seasons, but I prophesy that it'll be like a season kind of, or a period of a time that you're going to enter into where you'll rapidly grow in the things of God. You'll rapidly gain dominion, where the life of God will be present. Just like whenever you see someone that has life in them and someone that appears dead, that you'll carry divine life in you. It'll be evident in your mind and in your actions, and it will launch you to a whole nother level. And the health and the prosperity will come with it. The signs and the wonders will come with it. New anointing will come with it. Or miracles will break forth. We're just like Jesus, where he was able to say, you could see that I'm the Son of God by the works that I do. You operating as a Son of God will manifest the works. It will manifest the miracles will follow you, because signs and wonders follow those who believe. And I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus. And I see you stepping into the spirit of wisdom, where the word of God will become simple, and you'll find things in the word of God. You'll find direction from the word of God and direction from the spirit of wisdom that will change your pathway. Where you operated like an ordinary person, but then now you'll operate like an extraordinary person. One thing about the things of God is they cause you to think different than other people would think, to speak things that other people aren't willing to speak, to think things other people aren't willing to think, and to do things that other people aren't willing to do. It comes from seeing things that no other people have seen before. And you'll see things in the scriptures that you didn't see before, that nobody in your family's seen before, and they'll cause you to operate in a way that other people in your family have never operated. And it will be the hand of God. It will be the fresh wind of the Spirit of God. Just like Ezekiel prophesied to the wind, I'm prophesying to the wind right now, that the breath of God will blow upon you and the life of God will come upon areas of your life that were dead and cause you to expand into the new areas of the Word of God that you didn't have revelation on. It'll bring the fullness of the call of God into your life. Where you were operating in the call of God before, to a degree, but there were areas that you hadn't accessed yet, but the life of God will sweep into your life, and you'll be able to access these areas of your life that you didn't even know needed to be accessed. Areas of revelation that you didn't even know you needed, like the ministry of angels and the anointing and things like that. You'll step into that, and it'll bring the fullness of revelation needed to fulfill the fullness of the divine call of God on your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank you all for hopping on tonight. Jeez, I don't even know how the time goes so fast. I hope this blessed you. Praise the Lord, though. If you're watching this and you need to get saved, this is a great opportunity. Jesus died on the cross for your sins to make you into a divine person. But the first thing that he did was he cleansed your sins by his blood. His blood paved the way for you to become a child of God. And so if you want to be in the family of God and to be rescued from hell, destined for heaven, then you have to give your life to Jesus. And you do so by making Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life and repenting of your sins. If you would like to do that right now, pray this prayer to God and pray it from your heart. Say, Father, I receive your son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for me, that he rose from the dead for my sins. I believe that he's alive today, and I make him the Lord of my life, and I give my life to him. Save me from my sins and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to take a quick offering for the ministry and give you an opportunity to give. We have a lot of crusades that God's put on our heart to do. And whenever God puts something on your heart to do, he always brings in the money required. And in about a month, I'm believing God, I'm still believing God for the student organization to be completed. But I heard that on Monday, that Operation Embassy is going to finally be basically launched off. So God put it in my heart to launch something called Operation Embassy. And Operation Embassy is basically planting permanent the permanent presence of Victory Life, and because my pastor is Pastor Jonathan, the access to Revival Today on college campuses in DFW. And I'm starting off with the colleges that are closest to Revival Today, because we did that great crusade in UNT, and it was great. A lot of people got saved, but and we could do that again. Like, once you know how to do something, you could do it over and over and over again. So it's easy. We could easily go and just reproduce more and more of these crusades. But I want to find a solution that will not only get people saved, but will bring a campus-wide revival. Revival to a campus where the whole campus hears the gospel and the whole campus encounters the power of God. At UNT, probably 400, 500 people heard the gospel. We had 322 people that got tickets and registered, but there were like influxes of like 20, 30 students for like 4 hours. People that would come in and hear the gospel and walk away, or new people that would come that wouldn't register. And there were all these people that didn't come get a ticket, but were just still sitting out there listening. So probably, and there were people too that raised their hands to get saved, but they didn't come to the altar call because they were like 100 feet away. And so registered, 322 people came, 108 people got saved that we counted hands. Hey. So that was effective. We were able to reach like 500 people. But we're launching Operation Embassy to reach more people on campus and to permanently establish our presence on these campuses, which will then give an open door for Revival Today to receive college students into their church. I'm an evangelist, but I'm part of the local church. My pastor is Pastor Jonathan. So basically, we're launching this, what we call Operation Embassy, to do that, to get permanent presence on college campuses, not just one time with a crusade, but permanently, to reach an entire campus with the gospel. But then number three, and this is important, to do it over and over and over and over again. The Bible, David said this, he said, "Let me not pass away until I've proclaimed your power to my generation." So there arose, and the Bible says this in Judges, I believe. It says, "There arose a generation that did not know the things that God did through Moses and the mighty works that he did for the people of Israel." And those people fell away from God. So the Bible makes it clear that the gospel has to be reestablished in every single generation. And so if you think about it, a college campus is like a four-year generation. A college campus, you have to reestablish the gospel on that campus every single generation. And the college ministries that are out there right now, if we're being honest, have not successfully established the gospel for any of those generations for probably the last 10 years. So if somebody comes in with the fire of God like this ministry carries and the anointing, and they press in with a crusade and they press in with Operation Embassy, they can bring revival to the whole campus, and they could do it over and over and over again. And there's four pillars that we're using of Operation Embassy that will bring revival to the campus, guaranteed every semester. Number one is launching a soul-winning campaign throughout the whole campus, enlisting, like starting off what you have, but enlisting students into soul-winning, one-on-one evangelism using the gospel soul-winning script, which is a little piece of paper that makes it easy where even if you just got saved, you could just read this soul-winning script and people will hear the gospel and give their lives to Jesus. This is what Dr. Rodney Howard Brown uses at the River. When they go and train people on how to win souls, they use the soul-winning script and enlist people to just use that script and go get people saved. So pillar number one is a campus-wide soul-winning campaign, which is to every week be sending out students like twice a week to go and win souls on campus. And each student, if you have 10 students, each student can go and talk to 10 people easily in an hour and can go and present the gospel to 100 students easily. And a campus has like probably 20,000 people. So that's step one. Step two is to have weekly revival meetings. Not just a service, but a revival meeting. One where you preach hard, you preach faith into people, you contend for miracles, and where the Holy Spirit moves. A weekly thing that causes the student organization to grow. Step three is to have a small groups with a curriculum that's like a book already created, which we're going to use David Oyedepo's book, The Pillars of Destiny, which has his 12 pillars that are required for success. This small group Bible study, which is it gives students the ability to lead small groups, and it gives them the curriculum so that they don't stray off and start teaching weird stuff. But also, the curriculum is literally the greatest teaching on the earth right now by the most anointed teacher that has signs and wonders. You can't find books better than David Oyedepo's books. He's been anointed by God with the word of faith message that literally. His commission is to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith. And the Bible, and God commissioned him and to go and write books. And he said the same anointing that's on your preaching will be on your books. So we're using his book as the small group manual. Basically, where students, it's like an 8-week thing where they'll be able to get in small groups and get teaching and revelation and understanding of the Word of God that will cause them to hear the faith message, to hear the gospel of healing and of prosperity, to grow, literally to grow in their relationship with God. And then lastly is to do a crusade every single semester so that you always have a ginormous soul winning event that everybody's building up to. And since you have a student organization permanently, all the people that you win at that crusade, you could just plug right into your student organization and get to church. So those four pillars, it gives you a tangible way to reach an entire campus every single semester. And it's reasonable, like budget-wise. You could totally pull that off. So that's Operation Embassy, and we're believing, I talked to them today, and it's supposed to be approved, our first student organization on a college campus. And so I'll give the announcement whenever it's officially done, but we're believing God to affect college campuses for Christ this year and to do crusades overseas. I'm going to Ghana in November or December to do a crusade over there, and that's going to be like probably like triple the cost of like a college crusade. So there's things that God's put on our heart to do, and whenever God puts it in your heart to do it and God commands you to do it, that means that the funding will come, that God will put it on the hearts of people to give. And so I want to open up the opportunity for you to give tonight, and I'm not going to do a whole ginormous giving teaching, but I'm just going to open it up to you because the Bible makes it clear that giving is an opportunity for the grace of God to come upon you. That number one, there's a grace to give. There's a grace from God to give even when it hurts. That's something that's interesting. There's a grace that comes upon, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 8, how they received the grace to give, that even in their immense poverty, they still gave abundantly and cheerfully, and how their giving actually pulled them out of their poverty. So God graced them to give. He doesn't grace you to give to make you go into zero and to go into debt. And in fact, you shouldn't give into debt because God will never call you to give something that you don't have. But there's a grace to, God will even grace you to give in times when you don't have a lot to get you to a whole nother level of prosperity. It's literally the power of God to prosper you. If God gives you and puts in your heart a seed to give, he has a certain harvest in mind. So God will put it on the hearts of people to give. And because he's like I said, because he's put it on our hearts to do these crusades, that requires money, which means that he's going to be the one to provide it. And he's going to put it on the hearts of people and have a certain blessing attached to people that give into this ministry. And that's not just our ministry, that's all evangelistic ministries. But there's a blessing if you give into this ministry. There's a specific blessing that God's looking to get into people, and that's why, literally, it's why you give people the opportunity to give. Because God will get us the money. I'm just happy for the people that get to receive the blessing. And the Bible says that whenever you sow cheerfully, that God gives you seed to the sower and bread for food, and he multiplies the seed that you've sown back into your hand so that you have an abundance for every good work. So whatever good works you're seeking to do, or whatever good blessings that you have in your heart, the sowing of the seed that God gives you brings in that harvest, and it gives you the abundance. So let's say you would like to have $1 million business, but you have a $100,000 business. When you sow at your level at $100,000 and God multiplies it, he causes it to abound unto you so that you have everything that you need for every good work. So you wanted to do this good work for God of giving from a seven-figure business, but you weren't at that level, so you weren't able to do that good work. But then God gave you an opportunity to receive a blessing that gets you to that level. So sowing, when you sow seed, it multiplies back into your hand. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, that's all I have in my heart on that. I'm going to pray for everybody that gives tonight. And I'm gonna believe God that a blessing will come upon you for giving. Any ministry where the minister prospers more than the people that are receiving from the ministry is a fake and a phony ministry. So my goal and my belief is that everybody that gives into this ministry will be blessed, receive 100-fold on their seed, and that they won't just receive 100-fold, but they'll operate in prosperity. That they will be more blessed than even the ministry is blessed. Because a ministry is for the people. And David Oyedepo says this, he says, only people that receive from your ministry are qualified to be people that sow into your ministry, which is interesting. You shouldn't expect somebody to sow into your ministry if they're not somebody that's received the word of God from your ministry. Because Paul says, we've sowed spiritual things among you. Is it wrong for us to expect to receive a physical harvest or a material harvest? Literally saying that since because we benefited you spiritually, those are the people that you ought to receive material goods from. Not saying that you preach to get money, but what he's saying is you should not expect to receive a harvest in an area where you haven't sowed seed. So a ministry is meant to bless the people that receive from the ministry. So my goal for you is for you to prosper, to teach you things that cause you to operate in dominion, in the spirit, in your body, in your finances, in your relationships, for you to achieve the perfect will of God for your life. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pop up the ways to give. God, I thank you for everybody that's giving tonight. Father, I thank you for every person that gives into this ministry. I thank you for every seed that's been sowed into this ministry, into soul winning for your kingdom, into the harvest. I thank you that the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen is about to come, that we're stepping into it now. Thank you for giving us a place in your final harvest. I ask you that every seed that's been sowed into this ministry, that it would multiply 100-fold. Loose your grace upon it. Cause your rain to fall upon that seed. And multiply that seed right now in the name of Jesus with 100-fold. And everybody tonight that sows out of their abundance, out of their lack, whatever position they're sowing from, God, I ask that you would bless that seed. And I ask that it would multiply 100-fold right now. And that by the end of the week that they would receive a financial harvest. Give them their harvest on their seed by the end of the week. Cause something good to happen for their finances by your spirit and by your angels. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So these are the ways to give. You can give via Zelle, info@thevictorylifeministries.com. You can give on Venmo at VLGive. You can give via PayPal. I believe PayPal is info@thevictorylifeministries.com. That's our PayPal. And then you can mail a check to P.O. Box 998, Decatur, Texas 76234. Or you can pay by debit or credit at thevictorylifeministries.com/ways to give, or if you scan that QR code that pops up ways for you to give to make it easy for you. We'll leave it up for a second. Now you can bring it back to me. Thank you to everyone that hopped on tonight. I hope tonight blessed you. I felt the anointing like the whole night. Somebody's going to another level from this one. Not that there's ones that don't have the capacity to help you. But this was a special one. Man, I love the Lord. Well, thank y'all for hopping on tonight. We'll be on next week, two times as usual, Monday and Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I love you. If you would, like this, share this, send this out. This will help somebody. And as always, I love you. I'm Grayson Wilson. This is the Victory Life Ministries, and I'll see you next week. Have a blessed week.